Good evening.
Good evening.
Are you the only one?
I think so. I heard the music.
Did you read ahead?
Yeah, you can go ahead.
I'm just playing.
I'm going to go ahead and mute, though.
Okay. I'm going to wait a few minutes and probably not do a lot of the introductory stuff we do. I'm tired and I do want to do this. This particular class. Please join me in saying the Anabakoa. Anabakoa, Yadula Chumin Ha Tati Terura Alifet Imo Yutak Zadi Kabil Rinat Amha Sagminu Kaharenu Nora Kufreshayan Sintet Nun Nagibor Dorshe Yehudcha Givavat Shamrem Nungimogawit Yudkashim Barhem Taharen Rachame Sitkatcha Tamid Gamle Betet Reish Saritach Gimel Asin Kadosh Biro Tuvcha Nael Adatach Et Kufbet Ket Nunayim Yachid Geya Lamcha Pene Zohre Kiddushata Yud Gimelamet Pei Zayin Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushmati Akatenu Yodea Talumot Shin Kufav Zari Yud Tav. In the eighth verse of the Anabakoach, we say in a whisper, the energy of the year 5774 is peace in the Middle East. There is only one verse in the Tanakh that connects to this energy, and that's 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. We will be starting with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kut shabarichu ishkinte bitchilu Urchimud hilu hud hilu urchimu Le'achta l'shem yud hei bevav hei B'yehuda shilin b'shem kol Yisrael Limud Torah mitzvah Lasok Torah mitzvah Vayhi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maase Yadeinu Konanei Aleinu Maase Yadeinu Konanei. 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 10. Wesamti makom leami Yisrael untati vishakam taktav willow yirgaz od Velo Yosifu, Bene Avla la Anoto, Ta Asher Barishona. we're now going to read the Esther Diprot. Vaydaber Elohim et kol ha-divarim ha-eleh le'emor Anochi Hashem Elohecha asher hotzeiticha Be'eretz Mitzrayim mi-beit avadim lo yihye lecha Elohim acherim Al panai lo ta'ase lecha Esel bekol temunah asher b'shamayim Mima'al waser Ba'aretz mitachat waser B'mayim bitachat la'aretz lo tishtachaveh Lahem ulo tavdem dem Ki anochi Hashem Elohecha Elkana Poked Awom Avat albanim al shileshim We al rebeim lishonai Vioseh hesed lalafim La ohavai Ushim re mitzvotai Lo tisa et shem Hashem Elohecha leshawa Ki lo yinaka Ki Hashem et hasher yisa Et shemo leshav Zakor et yom ha-shabbat L'kadsho sheshet Yamim ta'avod ve'asita Kom lachtecha v'yom ha-shvi Shabbat la'ashem Elohecha Lo ta'aseh Kol melacha ata uvincha utecha avdecha v'yamatcha uvemtecha v'garcha asher b'sharecha ki sheshet yamim asa Hashem et hashamayim Et haaretz, et hayam, et kol asher bam, v'yanach b'yom ha-shvi'i. Al kein b'rach Hashem et yom ha-shabbat, v'yikadshehu. Kabed et avicha, v'et imecha. Leman v'yarikun Yamecha al ha'adama Asher Hashem Elohecha Noten lach Lo tirtzach Lo tinah Lo tignow Lo ta'ane b'reacha Ed shaker Lo tachmot Et re'echa, lo tachmod aishet re'echa, v'yavdo v'yamato, v'shoro v'chamro, v'kol asher l're'echa. And now for the Ani meditation. Starting with Malchut. Yo aheni wa yo hey, yo aheni wa yo hey, yo aheni wa yo hey. Yesod, you ahuni wu yo hu, you ahuni wu yo hu, you ahuni wu yo hu. You are who ni wu yo who. You are who ni wu yo who. Netzach. Ye are he ni wu yo he. Ye are he ni wu yo he. Ye are he ni wu yo he. Tiferet. Yo are who ni wu yo ho. Yo are who ni wu yo ho. Yo are who ni wu yo ho. Gevura. Yeah, Niwiyo. Yeah, Niwiyo. Yeah, Niwiyo. Chesed. Yeah, Heniwayo hair. Yeah, Heniwayo hair. Yeah, Heniwayo hair. Bina. Yeah, Heniwayo hair. Yeah, Heniwayo hair. Yea, honey, way, oh, hey. Achma. Yea, honey, way, oh, ha. Yea, honey, way, oh, ha. Yea, honey, way, oh, ha. Keter. Yea, honey, way, oh, ha. Yea, honey, way, oh, ha. Yea, honey, way, oh, ha. In the eighth verse of the Anabakoah, to ground any excess energy, we say in a whisper. Our class tonight is the Ari's writing, the third part of Building a Soul. When you open that page up, you'll notice that the title is Soul of the Servant, Part 3. The first two parts are named Building the Soul. But here we're going to be talking about the soul of the servant. Now, when the servant could be the handmaid, the servant could be the Canaanite slave, or the servant can be the Eved, the Jewish bondsman, all of which were discussed in the first two sections. So we will start with the L'shem Yehud, because we have said the Baruch Shem. L'shem Yehud Kud Shabri Hu Ishkin Tevid Hilu Urhimu Udhilu Udhilu Urhimu Leapta L'shem Yud He Bavathe The Yehuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La Sok Torah Mitzvah Vayhi Noam Adumai Elohinu Aleinu Maasei Yadenu Kononei Aleinu Maasei Yadenu Kononeihu. The Ari reveals the mystical foundations of the concept of the Hebrew bondsman. When you acquire a Hebrew bondsman, he will work for 6 years, and in the seventh year, he will go out freely to freedom. If he came to you alone, he shall leave alone. If he is married, his wife will leave with him. If his master gives him a Canaanite slave woman, and she bears him sons or daughters, the woman and her children shall remain with the master, and he will leave without them. If the bondsman says, I love my master, my Canaanite wife, and my Canaanite children, I would rather not leave freely, his master will present him to the judges, and they will take him to the door of the door or the doorpost. His master will pierce his ear with an awl, and he will serve him until the Jubilee year. I'm sure you can see that this paragraph, if you've never read it before, or if you have, I'm sure you noticed all of the metaphors involved in these descriptions of why would his ear have to be pierced and many other aspects. If a man sells his daughter as a maidservant, and she will not go out of servitude, the way a bondsman goes out, if she is be evil in the eyes of her master, and he did not designate her and redeem her, he will not rule over her by selling her when he betrays her. If he designates her for his son, he must grant her the due of all daughters. If he takes another wife in addition to her, he must not diminish her food, her clothing, or her conjugal rights. If he does not do these three things, she will leave freely to freedom. When someone strikes a person and he dies, he shall be put to death. But one who did not lie in wait, but God arranged it for him, he goes into exile. And I have set aside a place for you that he should flee there. This last paragraph is talking about the cities of refuge. At the end of the part one, Building the Soul, the Arizal discussed how the Torah can allow a Jewish bondsman to marry a Canaanite slave girl. And if, just as to remind you, the Canaanite slave girl is a soul that has just been released from the Klipot, while the Jewish bondsman is a soul that has fallen to the level of the Malkut, so that they seem to be moving in different directions along the Tree of Life. I'm continuing to read. And just as Memtet has a mate in the world of Yetzirah, yet he descends occasionally to couple with a different mate in the world of Asiyah, so can the master give the Jewish bondsman, if he has a proper Jewish wife to begin with, a Canaanite slave girl. If the bondsman is unmarried, the master may not do this. If he is married, he is anchored in holiness. Memtet is the name of the chief angel of the world of Yetzirah. As we have mentioned previously, it is customary not to pronounce names of angels that are not also used as names of people. We see here that the bondsman is modeled after Memtet, and it is the fact that he has a mate at the higher level that allows him to have an additional mate at a lower level. The reason for this is now given. I am adding, prior to the explanation, in the corrupted book of Hanok, all three versions of this book, it tells us that the reason Hashem took Hanok ben Yared, he who walked with Hashem from the Sefer Bereshit in Parashat Bereshit, is to fulfill a spiritual law and connect to the angel Michael. The law is there needs to be a gate when one moves from one world to another that has attributes of both levels. Thus, for a human being to grow to the spiritual heights that a human being can achieve, that level is above the angels. And there needs to be a gate that the human being can cross or can go through. And that gate is Memtet. Since he has the attributes of both humankind and the angels, we do not say the name except the letters Mem and Tet, so as not to connect to the gate until we are ready to elevate to this higher level. This is my opinion, and also to my knowledge is my personal Hiddush, my personal Torah revelation. Furthermore, if he is married, he is anchored in holiness, and even if he will descend below, he will not remain there. But if he is unmarried, he will get stuck below, and it is possible that he will remain there and become lost. Thus, the bondsman is deemed capable of surviving the spiritual test of mating with a slave girl only if he is already married to a Jewish woman. This is instructive for our general involvement in the physical world, which is necessitated by the divine imperative to make the physical world a home for Hashem. Although this is our purpose, we must always ensure that we are married to the higher levels of spirituality, where evil does not have such a strong hold, before we venture forth to couple or bond with the lower levels of reality in order to accomplish our goals there. I am adding, in my opinion, this is the reason behind the fence that forbids intermarriage of religions between a Jew and a Gentile. Memtet personifies the tree of knowledge. Another reason why the master may give him a Canaanite slave girl is that Memtet personifies the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Evil clings to his back and thereby suckles from him. Therefore, this bondsman who descended to this level can cohabit with a Canaanite slave girl. This apparently is the other side of the coin. Let us recall that a person becomes a bondsman only because he sinned by stealing something, was caught, and was sold by the court. Such a person has, in a sense, already mated with evil. So only he, having already lowered himself to this level, can consort with a Canaanite slave girl. We will now explain the biblical verses in light of all of the above. When you acquire a Hebrew bondsman, he will work for 6 years. This means that this soul has been rooted above in Zeranpin, sinned, and thereby caused a blemish in the six extremities. The six extremities are the six divine emotional attributes. And I am explaining that the extremities are the six ends, meaning the six sephirot of Zeranpin. It therefore came down below as a bondsman. Therefore, he will work for 6 years. Since he was rooted in the six extremities above and descended below, he needs to work only 6 years. Each year he rectifies one divine attribute that he blemished. Every soul is rooted in Zeranpin. By sinning, especially by stealing, the individual causes a blemish in the six attributes that metamorphose into the partsuf of Zeranpin. This is because the essence of God's attributes is giving, the opposite of stealing. And in the seventh year, he will go out freely to freedom. This means that in the seventh year, he is sent. He does not yet return to his original place, but only to the throne, or to the level of Malchut. He does not yet ascend back to Zerantin of Atzilut, but remains at the level of Malchut of Atzilut, which is sometimes referred to as God's throne, in line with the translation of Malchut, meaning king or kingdom. He will go out freely to freedom. This means that he will accrue no reward for the mitzvot he performed during his service, for he hopes that he manages to rectify all that he blemished by the time he ascends. The Hebrew word freely here, chinam, means free of any baggage or possessions, and in this case, free of any merit. If the bondsman says, "I love my master," it means that he does not want to ascend and to return. His master will present him to the judges. This means that he will descend to Asiya. His soul will remain at that level that he has descended to, and they will take him to the door or the doorpost. And this refers to Malchut, which is the door down below in Asiya. Malchut is the passageway between its world and the world below it. Here, the world below Asiya is the realm of evil. Once he has descended to the level of a Canaanite slave, it would befit him to serve his master forever, just like a Canaanite slave does. But in the final analysis, he does have some connection to the higher levels. He therefore serves only until the next Jubilee year. This is what happens in the case of a bondsman. But if a man, this refers to Chachma, sells his daughter, this refers to Bina as a maidservant, and this refers to the soul. The Torah allows a person to sell his daughter as a servant girl while she is a minor. This is meant to provide a poor father a way of marrying off his daughter, for ideally the master marries the girl, or marries her to his son. When her term of service is over, her wages for this service becoming the betrothal money he would otherwise betroth her with. Her term of service ends either A, when the Jubilee year arrives, B, once she has served for 6 years, C, when she reaches physical maturity, or D, once she reaches the age of physical maturity, whichever comes first. We may presume that a person loves his daughter more than he loves his sister. And please don't react to this sentence. It'll become clear shortly. This is contrasted with the way a Canaanite slave is freed. A Canaanite slave usually remains a slave for life once he has been purchased. But if in the course of his service, his eyes or tooth falls out, this grants him automatic freedom. This is not the case with a Jewish servant girl, however. If she is injured, she remains a servant to the master, and the master must only pay her monetary restitution for her injury. The level of Bina is more highly esteemed than the lower levels. It is the level referred to in the following Midrashic passage. This passage discusses the verse, "Go out, daughters of Zion, and see King Solomon in the crown that his mother crowned him with on the day of his wedding and on the day of his heart's joy." The Midrash notes that nowhere in Scripture is it mentioned that Bathsheba, Solomon's mother, ever crowned him. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai asked Rabbi Ishmael Bar Yossi, "Perhaps you heard from your father what with the crown that his mother crowned him means." And he answered, "Yes, it may be compared to a king who had an only daughter. He loved her greatly and called her my daughter. He loved her so much he called her my sister and eventually called her my mother." This passage continues. "So did the Holy One, blessed be He, first call the Jewish people a daughter, as it is written, 'Listen, daughter, and see and incline your ear. Forget your people in the house of your father.' He loved them so much he called them my sister, as it is written, 'Open for me, my sister, my beloved, my dove, my perfect one, for my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night.' He loved them so much he called them my mother, as it is written, 'Listen to me, my beloved, I beloved them so much, and he called them my mother, as it is written, 'Listen to me, my people, and my nation,' in Hebrew." "Listen to me, my people, and my nation," in Hebrew, le'umi. "Give ear to me, for instruction will issue from me, and my judgments I will come to the light of the peoples." Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai stood up and kissed him on his head. "The allusion to my mother is achieved by reading the Hebrew word for my nation, le'umi, as if it was vocalized to read to my mother, le'imi. Thus, the God's love for the Jewish people is so great that calling them his daughter does not convey the extent of it, and he searches, so to speak, for a greater term of endearment, finally arriving at my mother. But on the other hand, we may presume that a person loves his daughter more than he loves his sister, and that he loves his sister more than he loves his mother. Common experience thus seems to contradict the order of increasing endearment as portrayed by the Midrash. The explanation is that when the soul is at the level of Malchut, it is referred to as a daughter, in that it receives its divine beneficence through Zeranpin. When it is at the level of Zeranpin, both of them are equal, and it receives its divine beneficence directly from Ima, and is then called my sister. When the soul is at the level of Bina, it then gives divine beneficence to Zeranpin, and is therefore called my mother. The term "the Holy One, blessed be He," often refers to Hashem as He expressed at the level of Zeranpin, as we have seen previously. At the level of Malchut, the soul receives from Zeranpin, and is therefore its daughter. At the level of Malchut, the soul receives from Zeranpin, and is therefore its daughter, and so on. Thus, as it passes from daughter to sister to mother, the soul ascends in spiritual level. It is in this sense that the soul as mother is more greatly esteemed than it is as sister, and more as sister than as a daughter. Thus, the Midrashic passage indicates that the soul at the level of Bina is a highly esteemed level. Such a soul is so esteemed that even if it causes a blemish, it will not descend any lower than Bria, and does not become subject to Zeran Pin. Thus, even when such a soul sins, and the consciousness descends to that of the world of Bria, the first world where evil has any foothold, it will descend no lower than this level. In Bria, good outweighs evil. In Yetzirah, they are equal. And in Asiya, evil outweighs good. Since it was only in her previous lifetime that she sinned, the laws regarding how she attains her freedom are more lenient. The question is, what sin did the daughter of the poor man commit that she must become a maidservant, that is, to descend from Atzilut, the Jew's natural domain of divine consciousness, and into a lower level, even if that level is as sublime as the world of Bria? Rabbi Shalom Sharabi postulates that this girl stole something in her previous incarnation, and therefore needs to undergo some kind of rectification. She went through some kind of rectification in this lifetime. Since it was only in her previous lifetime that she sinned, the laws regarding how she attains her freedom are more lenient than the laws regarding how a Jewish bondsman attains his freedom, for he is serving time for having sinned in this lifetime. Even though the light of Ima only descends into Bria via Zeran Pin of Zatzilut, the latter serves only as a passageway. On its way down through Atzilut, the light of Ima traverses Zeran Pin, but in so doing, it is not changed or possessed or processed at all in this case by Zeran Pin. The intellect of Bria is lower than the intellect of Atzilut, but it is still intellect and has not been changed into Midot, the emotional levels. Such a soul, therefore, does not become subject to Zeran Pin. Such a soul will not go out of servitude the way a bondsman goes out. This means that a maidservant does not go out of servitude when her tooth or eyes are injured, for someone who is freed because of his tooth or eye are injured is blemished. When the master pays him the value of his tooth or eye, it means that just as he pays for them and thus acquires them, so do his limbs remain above in their injured state. It is thus not proper to blemish her. Since injury is not an avenue of freedom for her, we presume that divine providence will be less inclined to cause an injurious accident to happen to her in order to hasten her freedom. If she be evil in the eyes of her master, so that he will not designate her, the words for did not in Hebrew is lo. In this verse it is written with an aleph, and therefore means did not. But it is read as if it were spelled with a vav and means for him. This means that we are talking about a case when she did not repent properly, and for that reason, he did not marry her, as by right he should have. As mentioned above, the intention in selling a daughter to someone is for that person to marry her when she comes of age. The Torah recognizes that when this point in time is reached, it may become clear that the daughter and the master, or his son, are not suited for each other, and therefore she may be freed without being married. But it still refers to this as an act of betrayal on the part of the master. This idea is seen in the fact that the word for "did not" can be read as if it meant for him. The sense of the verse then being, if she be evil in the eyes of her master, who was intended for him, but he freed her. The word for designate in Hebrew, yiud, means the same as betrothal, kiddushim. When it happens at a higher level, but at the lower level, it is simply called designation. And redeems her. This means that even then she does not descend to a lower level. Thus it is written, when he betrays her, because she vested in the divine name Eloha. And if he designates her for his son, meaning that she ascends to the level of Zeranpin, he must grant her the due of all daughters. This is the rule. When a person causes a blemish by sinning with regard to money, but when someone strikes a person and kills him, the law is not like this. Rather, his rectification is that he shall be put to death. The explanation of this is that the court executes him and hastens his death so that he can return again to this world, complete his rectification, and die again. For this first death does not cleanse him of sin. And this is why the double idiom used, death, he shall be put to death. The Hebrew for he shall be put to death is the emphatic form, often translated, he shall surely be put to death. In Hebrew, mot yumatz, which literally reads, death he shall be put to death. The Torah then proceeds to discuss the case of the inadvertent slaughterer. And one who did not lie in wait, meaning that he did not intend to kill him, but God arranged it for him, meaning that the killed person was anyway liable to the death penalty. And either this or the next incarnation, he is killed inadvertently. According to Kabbalah, inadvertent manslaughter happens when a person is liable to the death penalty because of some sin he committed. But there were no witnesses to testify against him in court. In either this or his next incarnation, he is killed inadvertently. According to Kabbalah, inadvertent manslaughter happens when a person is liable to the death penalty because of some sin that he committed, but there were no witnesses to testify against him in court. He thus lives his life unpunished. In either this or his next incarnation, he will be killed inadvertently. The person who killed him inadvertently had already killed someone else inadvertently. But again, there were no witnesses. And this time there are. So he goes into exile and flees to a city of refuge. The rectification of an inadvertent manslaughter such as this is in the month of Elul. For God brings them into this world through reincarnation. The rectification of an inadvertent manslaughter such as this is in the month of Elul. For God brings them into this world through reincarnation. And this is a unwritten commentary. We teach in our astrology classes that a male born in the month of Elul will experience an inadvertent death. And now we know why, what is the reason. This month of Elul is the month of stocktaking and repentance before the days of judgment, the high holidays of the month of Tishrei. Inasmuch as we have all sinned in some way by devoting ourselves to repentance is how we discuss ourselves from the attribute or rescue ourselves from the attribute of divine judgment. Thus, the initials of the word for arranged it for him, and I have set aside, spell the word Elul. Arranged it for him, and I have set aside in Hebrew, is Ina Leyado Besamti Lach. The initials of these words are Aleph Lamed Bav Lamed, which spells Elul. For he must be there in Elul. God reincarnates him in another person so he can achieve respite. Thus it is written, lest the blood redeemer pursue him. For the blood redeemer is Samuel, who pursues him when he is reincarnated as someone else. He can achieve respite. Samach Mem is a name for Satan, the accusing angel. It too should not be pronounced. And that was my mistake. This is what I found within, in the rabbi's name. That is the end of the class. Does anyone have any questions? Since there are no questions, I bid you all Shalom Gadol. And remind you that tomorrow we will have the two classes, one for the deeper Zohar, where we're going to be studying section 19, and one the 7 o'clock class will be our questions and answers. So I bid Shalom Gadol to all of you. Shalom.
Thank you. Shalom.
Shalom. Thank you.
Shalom. Shalom. Thank you. Thank you.